Hello, my name is Dr. Seth Kaufman, and I am a radiation oncologist at Bay State Medical Center at the DeMoor Center for Cancer Care, specializing in breast cancer. I would like to talk to you today about the Bay State Health Breast Network and how the development of practice guidelines with the support of the Rays of Hope Foundation has been critical to our promotion of high-quality, patient-centered care. So let me start with the most basic question. Why do we need practice guidelines? You might be thinking, I want my doctor, nurse, or any member of my care team to have the freedom to treat me the best way they know how. I do not want them tied to a one-size-fits-all recipe. And besides, isn't my doctor a specialist? Doesn't she or he already know the standard practice without being told? These are valid concerns, so let me take 1 minute to describe the difference between a guideline and a policy. Guidelines are a framework using the best evidence available to come up with a general strategy for a person's treatment. Within that framework, however, there is room for a clinician's good judgment to vary or deviate for a legitimate reason. A policy is rigid with no such wiggle room. For example, an oncologist may choose not to treat with a standard chemotherapy drug due to a known side effect of numbness in the fingers because a particular patient is, say, a professional pianist for whom that risk is unacceptable. In that case, an alternative drug can be chosen. That is the freedom of a guideline. But whatever chemotherapy drug the patient gets must be delivered through sterile tubing so as not to cause infection. That is a policy from which a care provider cannot deviate with good reason. How is a guideline useful? When there are multiple ways to attack a problem, having a standard first approach will make treatment more efficient and safe. Additionally, having all the breast cancer specialists get together and agree on a guideline means we are all on the same page for a person's plan of care. This is crucial as there are more team members than you might think. Surgeons, medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, geneticists, plastic surgeons, pathologists, radiologists, nurses, physician's assistants, and technologists. This also unifies the plan whether someone gets their care at Bay State Medical Center, Noble Hospital, Mary Lane, Wing Memorial, or Franklin Medical Center. A woman might even get her surgery at one hospital, but move on to the rest of her treatment at another, so that understanding among all the team members becomes even more vital. So, we began in 2012 with the goal to develop evidence-based guidelines for breast cancer screening, health maintenance, diagnosis, and treatment. 6 years later, we have produced guidelines for almost every aspect of breast care. Screening. What age to start screening? Which women have higher risk for breast cancer and need screening younger or with different technology? How often and with what kind of imaging? Workup. What are the next steps after an abnormal imaging result? And what is an acceptable amount of time between each step? When should genetic testing be used? Treatment. When should chemotherapy come before surgery? What is the appropriate follow-up schedule after treatment, and what type of imaging should we use to monitor if disease has returned? Not only do these guidelines put all of your care team on the same page, they help ensure you will move through the system from diagnosis to treatment to follow-up safely and efficiently. As the program has evolved, it has allowed us to be the first in the region to introduce new standards of practice. For example, in my own field of radiotherapy, we now have clear guidelines for which women can undergo shorter course radiotherapy, 3 to 4 weeks rather than 5 to 6, with potentially less side effects. We also have criteria for eliminating radiation entirely for women with very low-risk breast cancer, and for avoiding surgery to remove a sample of the lymph nodes under the arm for women with very low risk of spread there. This means less time under anesthesia during breast surgery and removes any risk of arm swelling after surgery. Along those lines, we have set up-to-date guidelines on how much of a margin of healthy tissue needs to be taken around a lump of cancer. What is the benefit? Prevention of additional surgery just to get a wider margin, when the most recent data shows this is not necessary. Our latest guideline navigates the ever-changing question of what types of breast reconstruction are acceptable for women getting chemotherapy or radiation. With all of these guidelines, new data is altering our practice constantly, so the Bay State Health Breast Network members meet regularly to review and update. Let me tell you a little bit about how my own field of radiation therapy has changed in the past few years. and how we at Bay State Health are working to shape future guidelines. Within the last 10 years, we have learned that many women with only one or two cancerous lymph nodes under the arm can have radiotherapy rather than surgery for the rest of the lymph nodes. This not only keeps a woman from having another surgery, it reduces the risk of long-term arm swelling. At the same time, we have also learned that many women with cancer in the lymph nodes under the arm do better with radiotherapy to other lymph node areas in the region as well, such as those above the collarbone and next to the breastbone. What we don't know is whether women with more advanced breast cancer can also skip having surgery for the remaining lymph nodes under the arm. It might even be true that women with cancer under the arm, which disappears with chemotherapy before surgery, do not need to have either radiation or surgery for most of those nodes. We don't know yet, but if these are both true, we could prevent a good number of side effects. Right now, we are part of two clinical trials enrolling women nationwide to answer these questions. The results will shape not just how we design treatment at Bay State Health, but worldwide. 25 years ago, Rays of Hope had a goal of enhancing the care of those with diseases of the breast and improve the health of our community in partnership with Bay State. Today, the Bay State Health Breast Network continues the goal by assuring high-quality, patient-centered care coordinated amongst specialists so that patients experience a seamless process from diagnosis to treatment. Thank you so much for taking the time to learn more about this fruitful collaboration between the Rays of Hope Foundation and the Bay State Health Breast Network. This work is a testament to how you, our patients and families, have supported us in our effort to provide you with the very best care.